Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello and welcome to episode 5 of the Double Cleanse podcast.
Yeah, you forgot that there.
I forgot that for a while then. Robert, welcome to your own podcast.
Thank you so much, James. Welcome also to my podcast.
Thank you very much for having me.
Yes, of course. How have you been this week?
You know what? Fine.
Yeah.
Fine, but it's, do you know what it is this week? I feel like every week there's something that it just bothers me in the background of the whole week. And this week it's seasonal allergies or hay fever.
Oh, yeah.
It's just, like, annoying. I feel like all year round I'm constantly stuffed up. I've either got a cold or I'm coming off a cold or I've got hay fever. And I just sound constantly congested all the time.
Yeah, and it's a thing as well when you're trying to sleep in the summer and it's so hot and you want, not that it's summer, but you know, it's been mildly warm the past few days and you want to open a window.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you wake up and all your eyes are seeping and crusting together.
Crusty. Yeah. Well, that's life.
That's life, I'm afraid.
Yeah. How about you? What have you been doing? What have you been up to?
Nothing.
Okay, well, that's that done then.
No, what have I been doing this week? Oh, you know what? I've been really obsessing about my October holiday. I've been like, this is it. I'm not going to be able to go. This is it now.
I'd hate to be bearer of bad news, but I don't think you're going to be able to go.
Yeah, no, I think I'm not going to be able to go.
No.
But you know what? There's always going to be holidays.
Yeah, so holidays are going to be forever.
I'm sure
it
can wait
forever.
A year, even though I've already waited a year. But whatever.
Oh, you booked it. So it's Disney World, right?
Yes.
For the Halloween.
Yeah.
And like, October. You're not going to... Yeah. And you booked that like years ago.
A year ago. Just over a year ago.
Well, you know what? You're alive.
But you know what? You never know.
Alive.
You never know what it might... That's not any kind of Disney.
No, it's not, is it? No. Robert, as you know about your own podcast, it's about makeup and skincare.
Yes.
Is there anything you'd be loving in makeup this week?
Well, yeah, I was going to... let me grab it. Oh, I've shown you before anyway. I was tagged in something on Twitter. Can you tag me on Twitter or do you at them? I don't know.
You at whatever. Them, I think.
You at them. And it was... a like beauty tool that is from, I think it's Star Skin Beauty. I have the little instructions here. It's that much of a tool, you need a user manual. It's called the Artist FX Auto Patting Makeup Applicator.
Oh yeah.
And it's basically like a tool that blends your foundation in for you, and you just hold it and it kind of like taps your face really quick.
Yeah.
And then blends in your foundation. And it's good for like blusher, powder, things like that. It comes with like a stone top as well for skincare to like pat serums in. And it's actually really good. I thought it was going to be really crap and gimmicky, but oh my God, it can blend. It can really
blend. Well, this is the thing,
blend.
Is it, does it blend better than you holding your own tool and patting?
No, never.
Right,
it will never be better than a physical blending. But I wouldn't say it's better or worse. It's kind of on par. But I just don't have to do as much. All I have to do is gently glide my hand over my face as this thing blends in powder and foundation.
It sounds like a really unnecessary product that I really, really want. It
is so unnecessary. You would love it for yourself.
Yeah, I kind of want that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. How about you, James? Why are they?
Well, do you know what I below? Is these behind me on the window.
Yeah.
I think she's just talking about it. But my thing about working from home is that my desk is right by a window. So I wear sunscreen, like, heavily all day, every day. Because, you know, you're still getting that stuff coming through.
Yeah.
UVA, UVB rays. Mm. So I've got this, like, protective covering on my windows from Amazon that blocks 96% of the UVA and UVB rays.
Perfect.
Which is beautiful. And I didn't believe it to begin with, but I got this, like, little UV tracker from La Roche-Posay.
Oh.
And, like, you pin it on your clothes and it tells you how much UV, UVB exposure you're getting. And I compared it when I didn't have it to when I have it now.
Yeah.
And it's like dropped right down, like right down. It's so it's really good. I still wear sunscreen, I just don't reapply it as often when I'm in the house, but it's perfect. And I'm thinking, because I'm in the market to buy a house. When I buy a house, there's a few things I want. I want a big American fridge with an ice maker built in. I want a Japanese toilet.
Yeah.
I want air conditioning.
Yeah.
And now I want UVA, UVB protection on all the windows.
Yeah. Your house is going to be very cultured.
Yeah. Oh, I've traveled the world.
That's what I think when I'm in my car. And like
how cultured you are.
Oh. Yeah, I sort of think about how I have different furniture from all around the world.
Yeah.
No, I think about how much the sun... Like, I'm holding the steering wheel, and then I look at my arm, I'm like, oh my god, a quarter of my arm is in the sun, so I immediately take it off. When I'm at...
You let go of the wheel, and...
I let the car do its own thing, and I kind of have to move it away, and when I get really conscious about it.
Yeah, me too, because especially with, like, hands, I think, like, hands and neck is the dead giveaway of your age, usually.
Yeah, absolutely. And everyone's got that tech neck in our generation, haven't they?
Neck,
that line
that
goes through the neck. Apart from Paris Hilton, she doesn't have that.
Because she does this. She holds it up and she looks up at her phone all the time.
Yeah, that's
very true. But imagine not being able to look down just because you're worried about a crinkle in your neck.
Oh, I mean, I would rather.
Oh, would you?
Yeah.
I wouldn't do that, though. He's, like, stretching his neck and looking up.
Maybe that's something I subconsciously do from now on.
Yeah, I might just hold my phone on, like, a tripod the whole time and hold it up. So it's constant, at constant eye level.
Exactly.
But yeah, that's what I'd be loving. So one thing that's really interesting nowadays is there's a real focus on, like, clean beauty, which I feel like is something we should talk about in another episode. But today, you know, it's the end of the month. We want to do something kind of like not fun because we're going to be talking about death.
Yeah. Sorry if you just heard me do a mini gasp then. I nearly dropped my phone and I
onto your carpet. It would have been absolutely fine if you just let it
phone
drop.
Case. Yeah.
But yeah, there's the real focus on clean beauty in makeup and skincare.
Yeah.
So we thought it'd be fun. You know, people nowadays are so worried about stuff that isn't really that dangerous that we know of at the moment. But, you know, science has come a long way and we look at things that are meant to be toxic and toxic ingredients. And we know how skincare makeup actually works on the skin a bit more. Accelera. But let's look back at a time when science wasn't invented.
There was no such thing as science.
Yes. No such thing as science. To when they tried some really interesting, experimental, actual deadly ingredients in their skincare and makeup. That was the loudest swallow I think you've ever done.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I was looking the other way and I realised actually my neck hasn't moved at all, just my head has moved.
Before we started recording this, Robert took about, I don't know how many vitamins he took, like 5. It's the loudest vitamin taken I've ever heard. I think you're wrestling something for about an hour.
I have a subscription, a vitamin subscription, or vitamin, depending on what. And I do little sachets, and it's on like a roll, and you peel off morning, night.
Cute.
And it's really difficult to remember to take them, but when I do, I take them, you know?
Okay, yes. Okay.
Okay. Yeah, but so, you know, it's important to do that.
Right, sure.
Back to our podcast and why we're... and why we're both here today. So we're going to be talking about killer cosmetics. So cosmetics back in the day.
Robert's having a drink and now he's holding his neck like it's not going to make a noise.
I'm covering my throat so you can't hear the small.
Just block your microphone.
Oh, yeah, that's the point.
God, you've been out this biz for too long.
Yeah, I have. So, yeah, we're going to be talking about cosmetics that actually killed people, that poisoned people. Back in the days, that the ingredients that we look at now, we would laugh, or we wouldn't laugh. We'd just be like, oh, what the actual fuck? Yeah. Like, why was that allowed on anyone's skin? But before we go into that, we ask you guys, if you've had any products, ingredients, or whatever that really did destroy your skin or just gave you a bad reaction...
Mm.
And we thought we'd have a good laugh at you.
We thought we'd laugh at you for ruining your skin. No, not at all.
So a lot of people, James, you'll be very upset with this one. A lot of people said, and the brand specific, sorry. Wait, did I say that?
I have no idea.
Brand specific. Pacific. No,
no, that's the ocean.
I know. They pacifically said that... the ordinary niacinamide...
No, completely wrong still. The ordinary's niacinamide.
Niacinamide. Is
that... How did you just added in two M's there somehow? That came from absolutely nowhere.
Well, you know what we mean.
You know what I mean.
A lot of people said that dried out their skin and kind of burnt them, but made their skin really sensitive as well.
So the ordinary niacinamide and zinc is. So zinc is really good for like breakouts and acne and things like that, whereas niacinamide is good for regulating oil production. Niacinamide can be really drying if you've got dry skin, but there's also something called the niacin flush, which is like redness. And I've seen a few mixed opinions on whether you should carry on using niacinamide if you've got that flush. I personally did, and now it's one of my favorite ingredients. But if you, it's good for mainly people with oily skin, that particular product. Yeah. But niacinamide is said to be a good overall ingredient for all skin types. But yeah, a lot of people do say that that particular product dried out their skin. Dried out the skin.
My skin's completely drew. There was also an answer saying, and this one's quite interesting, because somebody used pure cucumber on their face as a face mask and they had a reaction to it. And this
Which
kind of
really
is a
strange.
Thing. You know what I was thinking it is? Maybe it's because it's the water content. I sometimes find that if I use something that's overhydrating on my face, especially around the eye area, it kind of, in a way, burns my face.
That's so strange.
You know what I mean? And it always just goes to show, natural isn't always... better.
Oh, it's
natural things are still made of, you know, chemicals, as people say, or they're still made of different things, you know, that we can still have a reaction to. Just because you've whipped up your own face mask out of cucumber and honey doesn't mean it's going to be amazing on your skin.
Some of the most deadly poisons in the world are natural. Mm. Obviously, you're not going to find them in cucumber, but that's very, very strange because cucumber is what? Like, literally water. Water and green, I believe.
Water and the colour green.
Yeah.
The key ingredient there.
Yeah, so that's very strange, but a lot of people do have reactions to like DIY face masks and things like that. I saw this like Pinterest, obviously on Pinterest, DIY moisturizer. And I saw a lot of the comments that people like had this, it was good for a week and then it ruined my skin. It's because you don't have like preservatives and things like that and they're obviously keeping it good for you. Preservatives need to be in there to keep like it bacteria free and make it safe to actually use.
Yeah.
But it's weird that like maybe the cucumber was out of date or something.
I don't know.
Maybe it didn't have enough green in it.
Yes, you need an extra spoonful of green in that.
Extra spoonful of green. Any makeup?
I don't know. I feel like with makeup, it's the only thing that can kind of do some damage. Oh, actually, the girl who I worked with a lipstick. So the only thing with makeup I find that can kind of do damage is a pigment staining your eye, which isn't really damage because it comes off. The damage comes from how much you try to take it off, if that makes
sense.
You kind of just have to deal with it. You can get like obviously like styes and infections and things like that depending on how hygienic you are. But when I worked in makeup retail. I worked with this girl who would come in every single day. And this place where I worked, the artists were makeup artists. And then you had, like, your cashiers and people who did, like, retail jobs, like stocking drawers, getting products for customers.
Right.
And then the artists will just sit customers down and do their makeup, if that makes sense. So this girl who wasn't an artist, she was a cashier, would come in every single day and grab a lipstick from the display and apply the lipstick without sanitizing it or without cleaning it. So I'm a little bit, when it comes to trying on lipstick in stores anyway, I'm still like, don't do it, even if you do clean it. The tests that have been done on testers in stores is absolutely vile. You'll be shocked to know what's on there.
I would love to know what's on there, though. That would be so interesting.
Well, then let me tell you. Blood, human blood.
No.
Sperm. Yes, sperm in an eyeshadow. Because maybe somebody, you know, had a bit of fun that morning and then went, didn't wash their hands thoroughly enough, and then went into a shop and then tested an eyeshadow with her finger.
I hate that so fucking much. Yeah. I really dislike that.
Yeah. So she tried on this lipstick and she would do it every single morning, just whack it on. And one day she got like a little bit of a cold sore, a little bit of herpes on the lip. Oh. And that travelled all the way down her chin onto her neck around her jawline. And it looked like this big patch of like leprosy on her face. It was really, really bad. She was signed off work. It became that bad.
Oh my God.
Obviously,
wait, she worked there? So she wasn't just a customer that came in every day and did her lipstick?
No, she was a cashier. She worked, yeah.
She should have known better.
We told her all the time. We were like, please. And she was like, no, it's fine. And it scarred her. It's a scar now. It's like a really faint birthmark on her face that goes all the way from her lip down to her neck. Just because of this one lipstick. You never know what someone's doing or touching or, you know.
This has always upset me because, like, even if you're just walking around, I don't know, like, super drug, you see some girls come in and, like, do their daily makeup in the morning.
Oh, yeah.
Like, where we used to work. Yeah. Where did I work? Where? In Debenhams. When I worked in Debenhams, a work experience, there was, like, a ladies' retail shop down the road. So the girls would come in the morning, use all the testers to do their makeup, and then go to work. Gross. I'd be like, you guys don't know how many people have been touching that or what they've been doing with that.
Exactly.
And that wasn't even a controlled environment, like makeup retail where you have people going around sanitizing stuff.
Exactly.
Yeah. I don't think they even had that. Do you know what I mean? Like, these were just like testers on a shelf that you had to open yourself and...
Oh, it's so awful. What I've seen as well sometimes, and this was someone trying to be really clean, is they got a lipstick and I guess their thought process was not to use the top of a lipstick because that's what everyone else did. But anyway, they wound up with a whole lipstick, put their mouth around the base of the colour of their lipstick and then went backwards and forwards. So actually, the whole lipstick was in their mouth and then put it back on display. And then someone's going to come over and they get a little brush and they try it on thinking they're being sanitised. Or they try it on their kids. It's like, stop putting makeup on your children in department stores. Stop. Buy them some cheap makeup from somewhere else and let them play with it. Don't put makeup on children in department stores unless it's been sanitized. Even now,
I hate all of that, but I just, none of that was nice.
Yeah,
but thank you.
No one's died though, from what I remember, so
okay, so not quite killer.
Not quite.
Speaking of makeup killing people on your face,
yeah.
it's good segue there.
Yeah.
So Elizabeth I, the original queen of England. I don't know how history works. I don't know if she was. I don't know if we've had another queen.
Because our queen is now Queen Elizabeth.
Yeah, but she's Elizabeth I, but was she the first queen ever? Or was there more before?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know if we've had another queen since, isn't we? Yeah.
Oh, no. I know we have a queen at the moment. But this is Queen Elizabeth the original we're talking about here. And you know when you go to like a museum or you see her on the internet and she has that pale, pale face, she has like no eyebrows and she has a tiny mouth and her hairline is strangely high.
Yeah.
Well, did you know back in those days having a super, super pale face was a sign of wealth?
Yes.
And showed that you, I don't know, sat in a castle looking miserable all day, which is a sign of wealth.
Yeah.
Right. But that was, of course, lead paint that they used to paint their faces with. So yeah, as a symbol of wealth, obviously then tan skin was a symbol of low social class. So kind of like the opposite that we have here in the UK. If you've got tan skin,
right,
means you can go off on holiday and afford a good holiday.
Right.
So yeah, as we know, lead paint would severely damage the skin. It would could eat away at the skin. It would give you headaches, severe headaches, hair loss, which a lot of people think is why that shaved forehead became really popular.
Yeah,
it's just like, let's just get rid of it anyway.
Exactly. Royalty back then, like, I think a lot of people feel like tutorials and, you know, these people being fashion icons is kind of like a new kind of concept, but it really isn't. Like, royalty back then were like the influencers of now. Like, they would have live makeup tutorials. Like, the queen would do her makeup or somebody would do their makeup, and they're like court or whatever, and special people would be invited to watch them do their makeup, and it was like a tutorial. Not Queen Elizabeth so much, because her face was so rotten
from the lead.
But like you said, the further back hairline, it was actually more, it wasn't really a fashion trend for her. It was actually because the lead was killing her hair and making her go bald. But because she was doing it, it became like a trend to everyone. So everyone was doing it. Massive foreheads was a huge, huge trend, because royalty were like the trendsetters back then.
Yeah, well, it would also rot their teeth and even cause death. I swear, correct me if I'm wrong, but I swear bad teeth was a sign of wealth back in the Tudor times or something, because it meant you were able to eat like all this bad shit that you couldn't get your hands on, like sugar and stuff.
Yeah, I think it also made skin look paler. Geishas used to do it a long, long, long time ago. I believe before the Tudor times, they would make their teeth black. Queen, talking about her skin and how like terrible it was, she kind of got herself into like one of these, like, I think of it like when you cut your own fringe, it's like, I'll just do a little bit to help and then I'll do a little bit more and it all starts going wrong. So she obviously had the pox, isn't she, what's it called, not chicken pox,
smallpox.
And I mean, being a female queen as opposed to a male queen, being a female back then, I mean, it being hard enough, but also being the queen and having to be this symbol of power, and then having something like smallpox and then having it leave scars on you was not very considered very powerful, you know? So she would also use this really thick makeup to cover up these scars, but that makeup was also eating away at her skin and her hair, so she would have to use more and more and more to then kind of correct the issue and to look, you know, kind of smooth, to a point where it was like mask-like. And did I mention this before in an episode? Like, royalty had their own people who would make notes of, it's almost like they were writing their diary for them. What's it called when you have like a...
Their memoirs.
Memoirs, that
biography,
kind of thing.
Yeah.
So they would be like their in-castle diary person. And it's actually like accounts from this one guy who was her diary person, whatever it's called. And I think it was in his own writings. This is why we have such an in-depth knowledge of Queen Elizabeth's face and her makeup. He would write how sickly she looked and how thick her makeup looked and how her face would crack and all this kind of stuff. He has a really in-depth description of her makeup, and to the point where, you know, she would draw veins on and things like that. Like, it's all written down. It's all really, really in-depth in there. So you can... I just have this... To me, it's because it was vinegar and lead, wasn't it? Mixed together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I just have this thing of, imagine mixing powder and flour, sorry, with vinegar. I just get that kind of texture in my mind, like talc almost, and having this
that's
paste.
Well, they couldn't smile. That's why they always look so miserable, because if they smile, their face cracks and it ruins the whole illusion of perfect skin.
Yeah.
You were saying that they drew on the little veins under the eyes to always make their skin look translucent.
Yeah.
It's like the original glass skin. It's like, you know, it's translucent and clear. But yet you were saying as well that they wrote so much stuff down. There's actually so many dental records of Elizabeth, but she only ever had to have one tooth extracted. But it was known that her teeth were so black from sugar. Was that Queen Elizabeth? Yeah. Because sugar was fairly new then, and it was only for the rich. So a lot of the wealthier people were known to have really, really bad teeth. And some people said that her teeth were so bad that they couldn't actually understand her very well. It's difficult to understand what she was saying through her rotting God. Teeth. Yeah. But
Can you imagine tasting sugar for the first time? And be like, what is this?
What is this delight?
What is this lovely delight? Chocoir.
Yeah, let me mix it with lead and put it on my face. Call it...
We'll call it Chocoir Land.
Chocoir. I don't think they named it.
No,
I don't think that's how it worked. But listen, we all know science wasn't invented back then.
Yes, no, they had yet to invent science.
They yet to invent science. But science was around in the early 1900s, no? It's like 1918.
Yeah,
science was around.
Has been around for such a long time.
This is a history podcast.
Yeah. Science was invented in the 19th century.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
So, Robert, makeup. Yeah. Radioactive makeup. Oh, by the way, I'm reading this from a website I found called thevintagenews.com. It's an amazing website that tells you all about beauty history. And not just beauty, but they got so much on there about beauty and fashion and cosmetics. There was this radioactive makeup. So, Marie Curie, as we know, discovered radium in 1898. So everyone went a little bit crazy after this and just started popping it and stuff.
It was like them times niacinamide.
No, I wouldn't say that. Hyaluronic acid.
Yeah, that's it. Put in everything.
Just putting in everything. So very, very widely used in the cosmetics industry, though, as well. Mm. So this was most common in France. Yeah. And one of the first brands of radioactive beauty treatments was Thoradia. Mm. They made a line of beauty products including perfumes, creams, facial powders, lipsticks. They all contained thorium chloride and radium. But in England, the one you're probably more aware of is Radia Company, also introduced a line of cosmetics containing radium, including a night cream, a rouge, a compact powder, a vanishing cream, a talcum powder, hair tonic, and skin soap. That's a very that's a good line. That's a good basic line.
Also, Thoradia, the French company, also did toothpaste, so it would have physically gone in your mouth,
right in your mouth.
Yeah, gargle with that toothpaste.
You always swallow a little bit of toothpaste.
Everyone swallows a little bit of toothpaste. Yeah. Here's the thing with radium: is the initial thought of of radium was that because it gave off such
such a glow.
It's so dumb, such a nuclear glow. Mm. They were like, surely that's what it's going to do for your skin. So to have this vibrancy and this glow, this neon glow to the skin, But Faux Radia, they had a, you know when brands associate themselves with a doctor, like doctor
yeah.
something, yeah. they had a doctor called Dr. Alfred Curie. So they were like, oh, it's Curie, it's like Marie Madame Curie. Marie Curie, who you know, discovered radium. Where actually
you can call her Madam, I'm pretty yeah, sure I she wouldn't mind.
Call her Ma'am. He actually had no relation to them at all, so it was kind of like a marketing gimmick where they were like, look, it's Curie and it's radium, it must work, you know?
Yeah.
But again, things like, I think everyone's familiar with the, what are they called, Radium Girls? Or the,
Radium Girls.
So, So the radium girls, they were female factory workers, basically, and they all contracted radium poisoning. So radium wasn't just in cosmetics. Here's the thing. They used it for anything that they needed to glow. So clock arms, you know, things like that, like things that you would need to have a glow. Watches. And one of the methods they would use to paint, as well as putting lipstick on with radium, they would lick the brush occasionally.
Of course, yeah.
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 So it's a really famous story, and I think they've made a film about it recently. They were factory workers and they all got radium poisoning. But things started to happen to them, like their bodies started to slowly disintegrate, things like that. They used to lick the brushes to give a brush a really fine tip to paint numbers and things like that. But they used to get, like, their teeth would start to glow. Their bodies would start to have a glow to it also.
Oh, my God.
When it first started out, it was... Sorry if this is a little bit wrong. I'm remembering it from memory. Correct me if I'm wrong. But when they used to, like, go out after work, they were known as, like, the Radium Girls because their clothes would have a slight glow to them in the dark.
Oh, my life.
And their skin would have a glow to them. And people would... They would, like, splatter their skin with it to give them, like, a glow. Almost like body glitter. But also they couldn't help it because it was all over the factories and things like that.
Yeah.
So stuff started to happen to them. Like, I swear their bones started to disintegrate. Started to get, like, holes in their face and things like that.
Yeah. So radium is, of course, a radioactive substance. So it's going to cause vomiting, anemia, internal bleeding, like complete breakdown of your internal organs, and, of course, cancer.
Yeah.
Being, like, the main one. But, yeah, of course, it's... fucking radium.
And you know what, with radium, it's kind of like it, I know it's like looking back on it is like, why would you do that? But it became this thing in terms of treatments. It was like a new treatment to have radioactive treatments. Like, just the word radioactive, you're like, what? Why would you do that? It was awful. It literally put poison on your skin and in your body. It's terrible.
Yeah.
Oh, and that's what Faux Radia, which is the French brand that we'll talk about. They in the 1960s, they found one of the original Faux Radia products from 1933.
Oh my God.
And they were tested and it was still found to be radioactive. So that really old product that's still radioactive in the 60s, 30 years later, imagine how intensely radioactive that would have been at the time.
Oh my God.
You know what, though? I'm talking about it and I'm like, oh my God, I kind of want that kind of radium glow.
Yeah. We're saying, like, get a glow stick and just crack it on you.
Yeah.
Don't do that.
That'd be really nice.
Don't do that.
But don't. But yeah, also don't.
So, obviously, arsenic in skincare used to be a big thing as well.
Yeah.
And this was something to, like... okay, actually, I want to read you an advert.
Okay.
This is an advert from 1898 advertising Dr. Campbell's Safe Arsenic Complexion Wafers.
Is that the thin sheets of paper?
Yes. Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
I think I know what these are, yeah.
So, the headline says, lovely... she was certainly an exquisite, lovely creature. Nothing could have been added to enhance her beauty. She compelled admiration and was an object of worship. This is the universal result of the use of Dr. Campbell's Safe Arsenic Complexion Wafers. and Fold's medicated arsenic complexion soap. These two world-famous beautifiers transform the most shallow skin into radiant health. Remove pimples, clear the face of freckles and tan, give the complexion an indesirable brilliancy. It's a lot of big words in here. And lend to every young lady a charm of person. What the fuck are they talking about? Which makes her adorable. Wafers by mail.
Mm.
50 cents and $1 per box. Six wow. large boxes are $5. Soap by mail, 50 cents per cake. Then they've got the address in there. Sold by druggists everywhere.
That's so expensive for back
it
then.
Is expensive. So this is a product that was actually literally meant to give them a deathly pale look. Because
It was ingested.
The look. Yeah.
It was like a little wafer, like at communion in church, where they give you that little wafer and you eat it. Here's the thing, that had no scientific backing whatsoever.
Oh, none at all. I have no idea where that came from.
Literally none at all.
Yeah, the problem was as well is they were always advertised as perfectly harmless. Like, these were, like, little things that they added onto their advertising.
Yeah.
As, like, completely safe, absolutely harmless, which makes me think
Isn't
maybe they
lovely?
Did know what the hell was going on. Yeah. What a lovely, healthy gal.
I'm trying to remember where they got that arsenic about the brightness in the skin. I don't know where they got that from. There was no science behind it, literally none. I think it was something, again, correct me if I'm wrong, I think there was a lot of arsenic left from a certain kind of mining, whether that was gold mining or coal mining or something like that. Arsenic was a product that came along with that, and I think somebody had to do something with it. And they were like, let's feed it to women to make them lovelier.
Yeah, make them lovely. Well, this is the thing. Back then, there was two kind of like makeup trends, if we're talking about makeup, Mr. Robert Roode. And one of them was this natural look, which is like the no makeup makeup of today kind of thing. Mm. Then the other one was, I suppose, like full glam, which was completely white, basically.
Sorry, what year are we talking about here? Sorry.
Oh, this is going to be Victorian times.
Yeah. Well,
back when. Mm-hmm. So the English times. Rose was
yeah,
the...
So yeah. That came around because makeup was very frowned upon in Victorian times. If you wore makeup, you were a prostitute or you were an actor, because for some reason those were the same things back then. Prostitution and acting. So the English Rose kind of thing, and like you said, it was a no-makeup makeup trend because it was very much frowned upon. So beetroot and things like that were used to get like a flush to the skin and a tiny bit of colour. They had like coloured paper, wrapping paper was used as well, parcel paper was used to get a little bit of colour off when it was dampened slightly. But to have this complexion and this really nice complexion, they would do a lot of bloodletting as well with leeches.
Oh,
so you'll go see a doctor and they would get some leeches and it would suck a certain amount of blood out of your skin to a point where you had this really pale, translucent skin. So you looked complete. Jesus. I don't know how long that would have lasted for, because I swear when you go pale, like when you just have some blood taken out of the hospital because you're going to faint, you just do it for like 5 minutes. But yeah, like you said, it was either that or heavy, heavy makeup. But heavy makeup was a sign of your, what's it called
wealth.
When you have a job?
Wealth again.
No, it was a sign of your...
status.
No. Occupation, sorry.
Occupation.
Yeah, so you were a prostitute with your red cheeks, or you were an actor because you needed a lot of makeup for the stage.
Wow.
And that's because Queen...
What,
Queen
in the Victorian times? Is that not like Shakespeare times?
No.
Oh.
Queen Elizabeth, it mainly came from Queen Victoria, when she went into mourning as well, then it was even more of a trend not to wear makeup because she wasn't and she was a queen.
Well, do you want to know here how the no makeup makeup trend became a thing? So you had your painted trend, they're saying, which was like white skin with like rosy cheeks, which was the English rose kind of look. But there was like a no makeup makeup trend where they didn't wear makeup at all.
So just quickly, there was a lot of trends that were left over from the French Revolution that were stopped in the Victorian times, if that makes sense. Because when you think of French Revolution, you think of loads of blusher and the white wigs and the powder and all that
wigs,
kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, it was a good, 100 years?
Difference?
difference?
I don't know.
1799 to when?
1874.
Oh, so what, like 80, 90 years?
Yeah, I don't know.
Someone do the maths.
So listen, this is, I got an article from Harper's Bazaar called The Ugly Girl Papers, or Hints for the Toilet. Yeah. It was written by a Miss S.D. Powers, a beauty expert of the time. And she became really, really popular. She was like the beauty columnist of the time. So she recommended a chemical called Taraxacum. It's suggested as a sort of like chemical peel. And she says, Mrs. Powers, the compress acts like a mild but imperceptible blister and leaves a new skin soft as an infant's. So it was like a modern chemical peel that you were recommended to do at home. She also recommends to keep the face fresh. She advises coating the face with opium overnight, followed by a brisk wash of ammonia in the morning.
Oh my god.
For the women with sparse eyebrows and eyelashes, mercury was often recommended as a nightly eye treatment, eradicating the need to use heavy makeup. Can you actually believe that?
Pure mercury. Mm. Just like, can you imagine going into Boots nowadays or a drugstore? Let's say we're going into Walgreens and they're like, you know, your choices are mercury, lead, or a beet. Or
one fresh beet.
Or some arsenic wafers. Oh, God. That's your skincare.
That's God. Awful. But this is the thing as well, is like Ms. Powers basically says that the whole idea of this nightly regime is to wake up with pale, near to death looking skin and watery eyes that look like you've been crying.
Yeah, that was like a trend.
Watery.
There were so many diseases, right, back in history that set a trend for beauty standards. People thought that looking deathly ill and sick was such a good beauty standard.
Isn't it strange? Why? Like, why? How would that? It's, oh, I don't know. Very odd. Very odd. So, thinking of near to death and watery eyes and such like and so on forth, another big trend in the Victorian era was eye drops containing nightshade from the belladonna plant.
So
belladonna or deadly nightshade is considered to be one of the most poisonous plants on earth. They look beautiful though. They look like very dark, round blueberries. Really nice. Like, if I was lost in the woods and I saw them, I'd probably eat them.
I would eat them and I'd be like, you know what? It was worth it. Yeah. Now my pupils are big and lovely.
And I'm...
This is the thing, though. So they use them as eye drops. What if some of that just dribbled down into your mouth?
It probably did. Of course, you know, when you put like wash drops in your eye. But this is the problem back then, is we've been talking about how they didn't know things like arsenic and lead and all that at the time was bad for them to do.
Right.
They knew that these eye drops, these eye drops were used to make their pupils look bigger. Yeah. So the black in the eyes were made to look bigger and the eyes had to look watery. But they knew how dangerous these were. They knew that these can make you blind. They could give you dry mouth. They can give you slurred speech, light sensitivity, inability to urinate, flush skin, memory loss, confusion, hallucinations, and even death. And they knew that putting these drops in your eyes would do it, and they did it anyway.
They did it, and one brand in particular, Acqua Tofana, which we spoke about.
Beautiful
name. Acqua Tofana. It was actually used as a murder weapon. A lot of women had these like really, really elaborate bottles of this product on their vanities, and you know, it was just like, oh, here's my eye drops, my deadly nightshade eye drops. But women were dropping them in their like husband's soup and things like that, and killing them. And it was kind of undetectable as well in the skin, but it was it was in the early 17th century. Julia Tofana was her name, and she made Acqua Tofana, and she was a murderer. She basically used something to kill people. That's how deadly it was.
So these ladies that were dropping these things in their eyes, knowing that it could kill their husbands, but still going for it anyway.
Oh, still doing it. I mean, some of them were purposely killing their husbands, of course.
Yeah.
But
well, can we just discuss?
Yeah.
That these, we're laughing at these, but these all throughout time, maybe not Queen Elizabeth herself, but these were all beauty standards set into place by men.
Yes. Yeah.
For, on how a woman should look back then, yeah, to the point, yeah, where these women, and you still see it in today's world, mm-hmm, and society, mm-hmm, to the point where women back then were killing themselves and poisoning themselves, yeah, sometimes knowingly as well, to, yeah, get black, big black pupils. It's exactly absolutely insane. Yeah. Speaking of Aqua Divina, going into a bit of like serial killer realm, which is a personal favourite topic of mine, women statistically are better serial killers than men.
Yeah.
And because men tend, and the reason we hear of so many male serial killers is because they kill out of rage and hate. Mm. And well, everyone kills out of hate, but they kill out of like instant rage.
Yeah.
Women are a lot more calculated when it comes to murdering, yeah, people. Things, yeah, like slowly poisoning them over time.
Exactly.
And that's why back in the olden days, we don't hear about a lot of female serial killers, because a lot of poisons back then were undetectable. They weren't, yeah, able to open up a body and see, you know, what was poisoning them, something that they ingested, and they'd be a lot more tactile about it. So things like that, I find that fascinating. I want a bottle of that on my empty.
I would love an original bottle, like, yeah, of that Aqua Divina.
Yeah.
Oh, can you imagine? Christ. I wonder if you can find it. I'm going to see if I can find it.
See if you can find it.
I just want to say really quickly as well, if anybody wants to read The Ugly Girl Papers, which is that really old beauty book, oh, from, yeah, 1874, there's a website called archive.org, and you can actually find it on there. It's like an old books and stuff like that. And the original book is on there.
Jesus.
That'd be a fun
read.
I want
that. That'll be a really fun read. So there we have it.
There you go. That is how history was called history.
Yep, and that's your history lesson for the day. Go and tell your friends to listen to this history podcast full of factual facts.
Real life factuals. Factates.
We could factates. We could probably do a whole podcast episode on how off our timelines were in this one podcast. Yeah. Like, yeah. I don't think any of it made sense. Just remember, history killed people.
Yeah.
But yeah, that is it. So please leave your reviews, rate the podcast. We look through your comments like we do our own social media. So
absolutely.
Absolutely.
Subscribe also, and you can follow us on Instagram at the Double Cleanse Podcast, and get involved in the conversation. We usually ask you a question every week, and unfortunately we had a bit of a technical issue this week.
Technical issues.
Yes, issues. So that didn't happen. But you know, there's always next time.
And you can blame Instagram for that for now.
Yeah, everyone blame Instagram.
everyone send them hate mail.
Oh my god. Yes, but don't.
Don't. But don't. Okay, well, I have been James Welsh from this podcast.
And I've been Robert Welsh from this podcast.
Oh. Okay, bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.